What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
So without further ado, I'm very pleased to introduce the next coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Mike Tomlin.
Good afternoon. I think first and foremost, my wife and I would like to give honor and thanks to God for opening this door for our family and bringing us to this great city of Pittsburgh. Without a doubt, we'd like to thank the Rooney family for having interest in us and allowing me to take part in this process and naming me head coach. And it's a great honor to be a part of one of the most storied franchises in all of professional sports.
Going right. The field is open. Aaron Smith shields. Flacco. Polamalu takes it home. Super Bowl 43. Pittsburgh might be bound for that thanks to number 43.
Miller slot left. Washington outside left. Roethlisberger has time. Throws to the back of the end zone and it is caught for a touchdown by Holmes. And the Pittsburgh Steelers become the first franchise in history to win six Super Bowls.
One more and it's official. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the AFC champions again.
Second and two as we start the fourth quarter. Pittsburgh with the ball down by four. Mendenhall, loss of football. Picked up by Bishop. Matthews and Pickett combined on the tackle to knock it out, and it's the third Steeler turnover of Super Bowl 45. Back. Lot of contact. This ball is incomplete, but it was a fourth down pass, and Green Bay will take over. Mike Wallace, the intended receiver. There was contact at the top of the route, but no flag was thrown.
To the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh! Jesse James! Two plays, they take it the distance.
I don't know why this has taken so long to review it, because clearly Harmon's nowhere close to him. Unless they're looking at the football, did it wiggle or anything to the ground? Well, it looks like a touchdown to me.
After reviewing the play, the receiver in the end zone did not survive the ground. It's an incomplete pass.
Oh, my goodness.
It'll be Pittsburgh's ball. Second down and 10 at the 10-yard line.
This is second and goal. Roethlisberger looks. Crosser. Brown. He caught it. Fights to the goal line. Breaks the plane. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. That might win them the division.
Great. Ask somebody that's in charge of that. I don't drive carts and things of that nature.
We do not care.
That'll be the last time that I address it. And not only today, but moving forward. Never say never, but never.
What will your final message be to your team before you send them out here?
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Luke from 44. Step good. Holman. The kick is no good. It is wide right. And the Steelers are the champions of the North.
Continue to coach. If he's let go, there'll be a lot of suitors knocking on his door for that as well.
Here's an interception for good measure. It's picked off by Bullock. And Rodgers is in his way, trying to make the tackle. Can't. And it's a touchdown, Texans.
I'm not even in that mindset as I sit here tonight. I'm more in the mindset of what transpired in this stadium and, you know, certainly what we did and didn't do. Not a big picture mentality as I sit here tonight.
What do we got here, Donnie?
We got a Schefter
Okay.
Schefter bomb.
Fellas, we got a bombshell.
What?
After a historic 19-season run, Mike Tomlin just informed his team he is stepping down.
Oh, my God, dude.
As big a story, I would say, as we've had pretty much on this station since it opened in 2010, it's certainly right up there. Mike Tomlin resigning. And, Bob, as I listen to that, and a great job by City Limits putting that together.
A lot of stuff in there from over the years. Yes,
man,
absolutely. To keep it all, know where it is, and put it together.
Yes, right from the introductory news conference when we barely knew who Mike Tomlin was. I would say my predominant feeling right now, just mine, is even if I thought this was necessary, and I have since last year's, pretty much since last year's playoff loss to Baltimore, even though I was swayed back to believing in the Steelers a little bit, certainly now I believed this had to happen. It's still tinged with sadness, you know, the passing of time. I was thinking about some people I've worked with over the years that maybe I didn't want to work with anymore. And yet when they leave, it's still sad because it marks a passage of time. And also there was some big winning early in the Tomlin tenure. And it's just a familiar face, you know, every week, that good afternoon that he started his introductory news conference with, we would hear on this station. And I think of sitting here every Tuesday with John Seibel, with Chris Muller, with Josh Miller, with Ron Cook, and now with you, although you're over there on Tuesdays, I hear you introduce him and that's what he says. It just feels like, for me, that yes, this absolutely had to happen, and it was a year late. By any means necessary, it was time to move on. It's still tinged for sure with sadness. Your thoughts, Bob, and welcome to Pomp and Joe, everybody.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Austin. And good morning, everyone out there. I tend to agree with everything you said there, but I'll add more to it. I've had a chance to work with Mike Tomlin over the past 7 years doing this show, and I've learned a lot about football. You can say what you want about game day antics, his X's and O's, or whatever you want to break down. The guy is a very smart football man. He really is, and he cares about what he does. Spent a lot of the long hours there. They all do. It's a tough job. And sometimes burnout becomes a part of it. I'm not sure if that's part of this. But when you do it as long as he's done it and you face the pressure, the critiques, the anger, whatever it may be, you know, there's a time. And I think I agree with you that the time is now. A lot of people thought it should have been earlier. You know, they had a good 19 years under him.
Yeah.
When this is all looked back on, 10 years from now, people are not going to, you know, look back at it and say, oh, what a terrible time. No, 13 playoff runs in 19 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 win. Look at all these resumes of guys who've been in the NFL for a long time. Very difficult to win a lot in those postseasons. Does that mean they made or he made the wrong choice? No, it's time for that. They have not done well in the postseason since 2016. They've never led in any of these games. They've gotten, you know,
in the second half,
dominated.
In the second half, they never led in any one of them? Well, they led the other night.
Well, that's
you mean in
one.
The second half?
In the second half, when the game was, they just, and then it got away from them all the way until some, you know, garbage points got involved. But I think overall, man, you get 19 years out of a head coach. That's hard to do in today's culture. I think it happens in Pittsburgh because they are patient, sometimes to a fault. But I also think that's one of the reasons why you'll see people lining up from everywhere to get this next job. And I certainly wish Mike Tomlin all the best. I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of his, how he handles media. A lot of people believe he'll get into TV. Based on what he's told me over the years, I don't think he's interested, although that can change. But whatever he does, I think he will be back. He is a football coach first and foremost, and somebody will be out there, whether or not it's now or down the road. If it's soon, there will be some compensation involved because of the stature of the part of his contract that says that. But he'll be back in this game. Unlike Bill Cowher, I thought he would be and never returned, I think he will return.
I do too, and I hear what you're saying there, and you have personal experience with him. It's interesting for me. I think the longest conversation I had with Mike Tomlin was right after he got hired. I was commissioned to do a story for ESPN.com on the Steelers' new coach. And so I talked to a bunch of the guys. They talked about he would run clips of people. I forget they had a name for it and sort of call them out. This was real early in his tenure during camp, like not long after he got here. And somewhere in the hallways, I ran into him and we talked. We talked about how he was going to live in the east end of Pittsburgh and where were good places to live. And then after that, never, almost never, did I ever talk to Mike Tomlin. And then by midway through his tenure here, I don't think he ever wanted to talk to me anyway because I was critical of some of the things that were happening. But I never really got to know him. In some ways, I wonder if Pittsburgh ever really got to know the true Mike Tomlin, because he seemed to open up way more nationally with national media types, things like that. I thought the best stuff he did here was right before the games at 12:40. I would hear him talking to Bob Labriola, and it was unbelievable, the stuff, the football stuff that would come out of him during those mm-hmm. times. And during his Tuesday news conferences, I felt like we didn't get a whole lot of what Mike Tomlin really was, Bob. Maybe you saw more.
Well, I saw more of a personality, of a play. This guy has a tremendous sense of humor, I'll tell you that. And some of the banter before we ever start taping a show that we did, you saw that. He also, like I said, has an amazing understanding of not just his team and his roster, but the rest of the league. And he can tell you a lot about every player because he went through that. Scott, I think if you ask Mike Tomlin, the best part of what he liked about his job was the actual going and pre-draft dinners, pre-draft scouting, you know, with whatever staff he's bringing with him. That's what he liked the most. Now, I think he's going to miss that for a little bit if he doesn't get into this, and that'll eventually drive him back into it. I just think he's that way. But I think if you got to know him, you'd look. And I think that's more the case with most people. You know, Derek Shelton, you had a chance to talk to Derek Shelton. You did a thing, but you saw more of him away from it. You get to understand more of the person. And I'm a fan of what he's been able to do. But it was time. I think 19 years is a long time in this culture. And if the things had been different in the postseason, I wonder if they had won a game. You know, and then moved on.
Well, that raises a lot of questions that I want to get into with you right off the top here, because you have more insight with these people. You know Art, you know Mike. The one thing I would say to what you just said is I do wonder how it'll be remembered. I think nationally we know it'll be this phenomenal coach. To me, it was more of he came in like a comet, like unprecedented success for a coach his age right away. And for his first 4 or 5 years, an A-plus job, like historically great. But it was almost like a band or a rock star who comes in and cuts, you know, two platinum albums right away and tours the world. And then it starts to flatten out. And it just did. And we're going to talk about later in the show, one of the topics is, when do we think the Tomlin era turned from, oh, that team could win the Super Bowl every single year, too. Why are they always underachieving? To me, how I'll remember him is just like that. A-plus work for 5 years and then a C. Maybe a C-plus. You know, the seven-game playoff losing streak, to me, is the story of his final decade here. And it wasn't just seven games in a row. It was seven pretty much non-competitive games in a row where he was barely a step above the forlorn franchises who never make the playoffs and don't win. He barely made the playoffs and didn't win. To me, that's not a huge step above that. You said it. They never led for a snap of the second half in any of those games. They were outscored 73-3 in the first quarter of those games. And this was a year too late, as far as I'm concerned. But Bob, there's some big questions here that may never be answered. The Steelers never want things to look messy, right? They never want it to be known that they fired somebody. And I don't think that happened here necessarily. Consider the Bruce Arians situation. He, quote, retired. Well, no, he was fired. There's always been questions about the end of the Bill Cowher era. I was looking back at some of Ed Bouchette's stories about how they were negotiating a contract extension right after they won the Super Bowl, and Cowher wanted more, and the Steelers wouldn't give him that. Now, there were a lot of reasons why he stepped down. I get it. But they never want things to look messy. They certainly would never want to be categorized as firing a coach. even if a year from now, 2 years from now, Art walked in and fired Mike Tomlin, that would never be known because it never would have been couched that way. This seemed awfully strange, Bob, for this to happen 15, 16 hours after Tomlin sat at that podium. So let me ask you, was he pushed or was this completely of Tomlin's volition?
In my view, it's completely of Mike Tomlin's volition. I just think it got to the point where it was wearing on him. And just
what was?
Just the pressure of trying to win in postseason when it hasn't happened. And then becomes a snowball effect that keeps moving. He wants challenges. I think the guy enjoys every challenge he gets. But I think he also got to the point where, he understands how this works. And he just needed a break. I really believe that. And I think I somewhat sensed that a little bit as time went on. Just the need to step away, regroup, reset. And if you're going to ask me, my answer is he did it on his own. I do not believe there was any.
And you think he knew he was going to do this for a long time? Because when you do it 16 hours later.
I do. I don't think you do it just herky-jerky. You guys, we always talk about guys who say, I don't want to make an emotional decision. He doesn't want to do that either, but I think it's just been building in that direction. For whatever reasons there may be, I'm not sure what those all are, but I do think it was sort of building that way. And listen, 19 years is a long time in any place you can do it, and to do it that long is an amazing accomplishment, I think. So, like I said, the longer this goes away, 10 years from now, you'll look back and think of that career as an outstanding career. You'll forget about a lot of the nuances. Some people won't.
I don't call 7-game playoff losing streak a nuance.
And I didn't either.
I call it annual failure.
Fine. You could remember that if you want. But I'm going to remember 19 years is a long time. 13 playoff seasons. Playoffs are still important. You got to get there. Yeah. Did they underachieve? Yes, they did. They weren't ready for some of those games. In fact, most of those games. Why is that? It's his responsibility to get him there. But I also know that it's difficult to get there in the first place, and that's just my choice. That's how I'm going to remember this whole 19 years.
Did this have anything to do with his option year? Do you think that was ever discussed? Because I can't help but wonder if Art wasn't going to pick that up and if Mike didn't appreciate that and didn't want to be a lame duck coach.
I don't know that. I don't know if they've had those discussions or not. I don't know.
What's your gut feel? Your gut feels that he was burned out.
Yeah, I just think it was time for a change. And it just accumulated to this point, and he made a decision. But I think that decision was made long before that game. A lot of people believe that the decision was made. We've talked to former players who thought that game last night had a lot to do with it. It may have, certainly, the way it went especially, but I think he was ready to do it before that game if they lost and if things didn't go their way. That's just
very unusual.
That's just my gut on that, that's all.
Very unusual for a guy who still seemingly has a lot of coaching left in him, anybody I'm talking about, to abruptly resign 15 hours after a playoff loss.
I agree.
So I'm just wondering about a lot of things.
The quickness of the decision, but then again, it had to be made. I don't think he makes a knee-jerk reaction like that quickly. That's all.
And the two things that I think about are the option year and also his role as the de facto defensive coordinator. And those are the questions that just pop into my mind. Had there been discussions? Was there a discussion in that brief amount of time about this option year? Or was Mike already convinced he wasn't getting it and didn't want to go in as a lame duck? And had there been discussions, or was there in that brief time period about Mike? And I can't imagine there was, because that's not the way the Steelers do things. You're not going to go up to Tomlin 4 hours after a playoff loss and say you're not going to be the defensive coordinator anymore. But I wonder if he got sort of the gist of that in previous conversations with Art, that we're making a change there. Do you think he would have been fired if he didn't resign?
I said that a long time ago to you. I think it was going to be his choice first and foremost. And whenever that time come, I didn't think it would be 15 hours after a game that would be his choice, and that he was not. I just think they respect what he's been able to do here for a long time. Would there be changes and significant ones if he were still here? Yes, I believe they would make that. I don't know what they would be.
Would Art have picked up that option?
I believe he would, yes. I mean, it's in there for that reason, and they've done it before. This playoff losing streak spans a decade, basically, and there have been options in there that he's picked up before. So, my gut tells me, yes, he would have picked it up.
Well, Art speaks to the media today at noon.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Yeah, you'll find out more then.
Well, or
it's
less.
It's a little bit unusual for him to come out with a press conference. You know,
it
like
sure
this,
is.
So
he usually speaks. I mean, you have to after Mike Tomlin
sure.
resigns. You have to. And those would be among my questions for him. Would be, did this take you off guard or did you know it was coming? Did you get any sense that Mike was disgruntled in any way with anything? Was the plan to move ahead with him and trigger that option? Was that your organizational plan? Was the plan to have him remain in full control of your defense? What was the organizational plan moving forward? He's probably not going to tell you. But man, I'm curious about all of that. I suppose in a lot of ways it doesn't matter, but if somebody had the real story, it would sure matter, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be a great story.
But I think if there is a real story, what you're suggesting, it'll come out eventually, but it won't be anytime soon. I think it takes time for that to happen. I just don't know the answers to any of those questions. I don't think any of us really do. They have conversations all the time, I'm sure, about a lot of things. You know, we've speculated for all these years about the draft and how it works, and it's a tight-knit secret over there. They don't tell you a lot about who
Tomlin controls the picks.
He has the final word.
But
no one's ever confirmed it or denied it or whatever.
Well, so, he basically has. When I asked him point blank, he said, I take full responsibility for all the picks. They made, and this is an interesting question moving forward. Dan Rooney made this a coach-centric organization with the hiring of Chuck Knoll and conferring all power over the draft to Chuck Knoll. And nothing has changed since then. In many ways, it's worked. They've won a lot of games. Bill Cowher won his power struggle with Tom Donahoe, coach-centric organization, and nothing changed with Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin may have had more power than the other two guys combined before him. He practically ran the organization. Mike Tomlin drafted Kenny Pickett. Mike Tomlin drafted Najee Harris. Mike Tomlin was responsible for Justin Fields and Mitch Trubisky and Aaron Rodgers and whoever else you want to name.
Russell Wilson and all of them. You're right.
Whoever else you want to name.
And that's on him. Because it was his choice to make those, at least a leading voice in those choices.
And I wonder if they had tried to lessen his power or had indicated to him that at some point his power would lessen, that he wouldn't get that option year. All the machinations that go on behind the scenes that are very important for the Steelers to not get out there. Like there was stuff going on with Chuck Knoll way back when. Things being forced upon him, right? As far as staff changes. I just mentioned the Cowher stuff. If you read right after he left, people like Ed Bouchette were convinced then that it was more about the contract than anything else. He wanted more money. He thought he deserved more money at the time. So naturally, I wonder about all these things with Tomlin. But the bottom line is, it's a new era, Bob. It's a new era for Steelers football. And what are they going to be looking for moving forward? What is most important to them? What's most important to you in the new coach? What are you looking for? Offensive-minded guy?
I would like. To me, it doesn't matter who the head coach is, but I would like that coach. And I think this may be a little bit different than what we've seen. To your point about having coaches for a long period of time and they have a lot of control, I get it. This may be different for especially a younger coach. You know, they have tended to go with names that you didn't know. When Chuck Knoll, they brought him in. Bill Cowher was not a big name. He was on a Marty Schottenheimer's staff too, but not necessarily the kind, there was a lot of other nominations out there. Mike Tomlin was somebody who came out of nowhere, really. He was a DC, but he wasn't looked at as one of those guys who's going to get this job. There was a lot of reporting for other people. What I do think may happen here is that you're going to see Omar/Andy Weidel have a little bit more control over what's going on because you may have someone in here who's going to be younger, looking for his first head coaching job, and willing to understand how that works. But I would want a very, very good young offensive mind. I think you absolutely need that, and there are a lot of them out there. And regardless if that guy is the head coach or not, I still think that guy has to hire someone who has the autonomy to run his offense the way he should fit. Sure, you have a say. Sure, you have a game plan as a head coach, but you want the guy who knows the offense to call the offense.
I disagree. I think a couple of the really good younger coaches in the NFL right now, and they might darn well meet in the Super Bowl, D'Amico Ryans and Mike McDonald are both defensive guys. And then I look at Mike Vrabel. Obviously, you need an offensive mind somewhere.
Right. You can satisfy both. The head coach could be a defensive coordinator.
Sure, and hire Josh McDaniels. Right. I mean, that's dynamic in New England right now. You have a defensive guy in Vrabel, and he just hands the offense to Josh McDaniels. Quarterback development, scheme, everything else. To me, it can work. People seem really bent on the offensive-minded head coach. I'm open to that. But I think the head coach, and I think they think the head coach, based on their history, is more about force of personality. More about we need to go out and hire that guy who has it, who's a CEO type. Marcus Freeman is a guy who fits that profile for sure. This guy, Nate Steelhouse, Bob. Everybody here can call him Nate Steelhouse, the Seattle or the Rams pass game guy.
Yeah, he's been
talked interesting.
About a lot.
Yeah, very interesting guy. And there's lots of them. But I think for me and for them, I'm mostly interested in that, in the force of personality, the CEO, the general, the guy who commands a room. And then I can get the offense and defense taken care of. One of Tomlin's main problems is he couldn't let go of the defense.
And they wouldn't make changes to their staff. It took a lot of
And when he did, they were the wrong people.
Right. And Matt Canada is a good example of that. He hung with him a long time before it finally push came to shove. So, yes, you have to be able to be that guy. There's enough on your plate as a head coach to do. You don't need to be changing everything, making changes during the game, calling over shadowing your own coordinators. I don't think you want that. So there are a lot of guys who fit that profile, I think, on a potential list of candidates.
Tomlin's coaching tree is like one of those miniature Christmas trees, Bob. It's like one leaf.
Like Charlie Brown.
It's like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree. That's true. And every year we got how did the dynamics work on Charlie Brown, Bob? Who held the ball and who missed it all the time? Did Limus miss it all
the time?
I think
Limus did. And was his name Limus Sweet?
No, it was Lucy that was pulling the football away from Charlie Brown.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Where did I get Limus? Who's Limus?
Sweet. Is it Limus Sweet? Limus, yeah. Not Limus Sweet. Nope. Limus Sweet did not transform into the Peanuts world there, Joe.
No, it was Lucy pulling the ball from Charlie. Well, that's us.
Charlie Brown.
That's everybody every year with the Steelers playoffs. I got fooled again this year. I thought they were going to kick the ball, and Lucy pulled the ball at the last second, and they got it. It was just getting worse.
Yeah, it was.
Bob, how much do you think?
Especially at a home game. You know, yes. These other ones have been on the road except for 2020, but this is a home game where this fan base was fired up. It was an offense in Houston. I thought they could handle C.J. Stroud. He kept them in the game. If it wasn't for him, that game would have been over a lot sooner.
If they win that game, they carry C.J. Stroud off on their shoulders.
Yeah, that was a bad performance, but somehow, even with that, then, you know, they lose by 24 points.
Right.
So,
well, it's a landmark day, really, in Pittsburgh sports history when a guy who's been here for 19 years steps down. And I would imagine if it went as you seem to think it went, Bob, that it was simply Tomlin saying, you know, and maybe thinking this for a while, that this is going to be it, that I would say Art would be relieved because he didn't have to step up and do it. And I don't think he would have stepped up and have done the right thing here. I think he was going to let Mike Tomlin do anything he wants.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think there would have been changes. I do think that.
Yeah, but there's been changes and they wouldn't have made any difference because the one thing that needed to change
and it
was the head coach.
Finally did.
So, do you think the fire Tomlin, all of that played into
no.
this? No.
I'll tell you one thing I thought, though, because he's one win away from eclipsing the Chuck Noll record.
Yeah.
But this confirms what he said about he doesn't care about records and all these things. If that mattered to him, I don't think he would have done this to eclipse the record. I think he was close enough to a one win away, but he didn't care about that. He cared about what, you know, the state of his team was, and it wasn't good right now.
So you think that the fan base turning on him didn't play any role in this?
I think he's aware of it. I don't think he just looks at that one specific instance and say, oh, that's it, I'm done. No, I don't think. I just get the feeling he's not made up that way.
So again, then, what do you think led him to this conclusion?
Just, again, for me, it was just years after years of going through this process, and it finally probably came to just, I need a break. I think it's okay. People.
But you think he's going to go right back into coaching?
At some point. I don't know if it'll be immediately.
What do you think he's going to do for the next year?
I don't know.
But not TV, huh?
He's, again, in just conversations back and forth, I mentioned TV a lot because I think he would be excellent in it, don't you? He knows how to handle all this stuff, and he comes at you with a different kind of a flair.
Maybe.
He handles all those situations well. I think he does. And I think, yes, he'd be good at it, but I just don't think he wants to do it. Now, can that change? Has it changed? Would money sway him? No, I don't think he has enough money. You know, we'll see. But I just don't think I'll see that. I may be wrong because things do change. Because Bill Cowher, I thought for sure he'd be back in it. I remember talking to him about, you know,
right.
there were offers every year that came, and he was always named. But for some reason, he just really enjoyed the TV aspect of it much more than I think he thought he would originally.
Well, I'm sure people have ideas for who should replace Tomlin. I don't know, as far as the TV goes, as far as his future goes, they stand to gain compensation. And I believe that the New Orleans Saints got a first and second round pick when Sean Payton took a year off went to Denver. That would be just golden for that to happen. I think what is it? If he coaches before 20 by 27, Bob?
Yes.
Okay.
So
well, obviously that's something to keep an eye on here. When the news broke yesterday, well, all hell broke loose. We're going to replay that next and give our reaction there. I had a little birdie. Did you have any little birdies, Bob, yesterday indicating to you? I think Pony had a birdie.
No.
I had a birdie. I can't believe that you didn't have a birdie. Were you over there?
For this?
Yes.
No.
At some point yesterday, no birdies. Nobody tweeting.
No, didn't have.
Tweet.
I think if you talk to most people, we'll be honest with you, there was never a thought that that was going to happen the way it did that specific day.
Art had a thought? Do you think Art was as shocked as we were?
I don't know the answer to that. You know, he's with him all the time. He would know better than my guess is that Mike just finally just said, that's it. I'm going to
Can you text Art and ask him that, Bob?
he'll be available at noon. He'll hear what he has to say.
That should be the first question is, were you as shocked as everybody else? Coming up next, we'll replay for you the moment it all went down and how a little birdie contacted me right before that. And it was very, very curious, wasn't it, Limits? And we'll listen to that next. It's Pomp and Joe with Austin Bechtold, Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We'll have reaction later to Art meeting with the media. We're not going to carry that live, but we will bring it right back to you and analyze that. We have the big boy, Mark Cabali, who didn't think that this change was necessary. He was against the idea of Tomlin leaving. You know, he didn't think that this would be a good thing for Tomlin to leave.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Well, it was a moment frozen in time. Things started to get interesting, Bob, with a man that you and I both know, who shall go unnamed, texted me, if I could find the text, yesterday at 1:27 p.m., and I don't think I saw it until right at the end of the show. And this is what it sounded like, Bob. I just got a text from a man I consider to be influential who said, hope all is well. Change is definitely coming to Steeler land. What do you make of that, O Limitless Wonder?
And I said, I don't think it's the head coach, but it must be something significant.
What time was that? 1:52 or
that
so?
That was at about 1:40.
Bob? Yeah. Ron?
I mean, that was, what, 20 minutes before the news actually came out?
Just about team, 25, so. And I'll show you who this was in a minute. But I've never gotten a text, really, from him other than something golf-related at one point in my life. Joe, hope all is well. Change is definitely coming to Steelerland. He didn't mean they were getting a new linebacker coach. I can tell you that. I said, hi. I almost said his name. That's an interesting text. You must know something. He said, remember where you heard it first. I said, I will. So there you go, Bob. That happened. And I was not listening at the time. I almost always listen to the PM show driving. I don't even remember why I didn't yesterday. Why wasn't I listening? Where was I and what was I doing?
Were you on your way to another destination to do something?
Well, yeah, but that's the whole point. I'm always listening to the PM show on my way to another destination. I don't know why. I don't. But was this 2:05 PM limits? Is that when this went down?
Exactly, 2:05 right p.m.
Here it was, Bob.
What do we got here, Donnie?
We got a Schefter.
Okay.
A Schefter bomb? Fellas, we got a bombshell.
What?
After a historic 19-season run, Mike Tomlin just informed his team he is stepping down.
Oh, my God, dude.
Was that it? Where's the part where Mulsey slaps his own head?
I took that part out. I just went with the short version.
Why would you take that part out, Limits? It's the highlight of the whole thing. Bob, Limits punched himself in the head. I mean, Mulsey punched himself in the head after this.
Mike Tomlin just informed his team he is stepping down.
Oh, my God, dude.
There it was. That's incredible.
That's pretty loud slap.
That was great in retrospect hearing it. Were either of you listening live?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, yeah. I was in the back podcasting the rest of our show, and I have like Schefter and Fowler and them on Twitter notifications.
Yeah.
So as soon as I pulled it up, my eyes got as wide as a full moon, and I bolted to Craig's office. Craig wasn't there. Bolted down the hallway. You can see me running on the video feed in to tell Donnie, and Donnie got it like I think 10 seconds before I bolted.
Oh wait, so
in.
You relayed it to Donnie?
No, Donnie got it 10 seconds before I came in the
okay.
door.
Okay. All right. Wow. What a moment. I mean, I was thinking you and I were talking about the biggest breaking news moments in fan history. What are some that come to mind for us?
So I broke the news of Matt Canada being fired when I was still part-time working with the morning show.
How about that, Bob?
To Doran and Crowley.
Yeah.
So that happened, I can't remember, during a bye week? After, when did it occur?
Was it a bye week? I can't remember. It occurred after the Cleveland game.
Okay.
In Cleveland. But I don't think it was a bye week, although I don't remember now.
I think it was, because I remember them having a lot of time off.
There was the time that Ben told Ron that he was contemplating retirement. I think Ron and Andrew during Ben's show here. Remember that? And Ron said, there was silence, and then Ron said, I'm flabbergasted.
Well, you would be after hearing something like that.
Yeah. I don't know how serious Ben was at the time. What else? The Sully firing, the Carlson trade.
We were on the air when Shelty was fired last year.
How about that?
Not as monumental.
Shelton, Sullivan, and Tomlin all gone within a span of less than a year.
9 months.
This feels bigger than all the aforementioned stories. And what am I missing here? What am I missing as far as huge breaking news?
Yeah, outside of championships, these are the main ones.
That's not breaking
Trubisky
news.
Train?
Trubisky train.
How about the, no, it didn't break.
I can't think right now. I'm drawing a blank. Maybe our listeners can chime in. Since 2010, a hell of a lot of stuff has happened, right?
Yeah, but on the air, while you're on the air, that's not a lot of those occurrences.
Yeah, that's true. I can't really think, honestly. Mulsey and I were doing a show. What are the suites called? Cambria Suites.
Yeah.
When the Jerome McGinley knew, that was a big deal when the Penguins traded for Iginla. That was gigantic.
Pirates drafting Paul Skeens was on a Sunday, so that wouldn't have
Yeah. But that wasn't necessarily a surprise as it was building up. Most people thought it was going to be that.
This is one. Yeah, you only get a few. And Bob, right. your career has been longer than mine. You only get a few where everybody in the newsroom suddenly, like Limits, jumps up and runs down the hallway. You don't jump up and run down the hallway. Sorry, when Shelty's fired.
No, I get that. But it is. It's one of those historic moments that you remember, just as it was when he was hired.
What's the biggest breaking sports news story you ever covered in your career?
Well, this goes way back, but it's not necessarily sports news in the sense that it has something to do with a team performance, but when Senior Sack was here, and I forget the year, Gabe Rivera.
Oh, yeah.
The car I was working that night.
And he got in a car accident.
And he got in a car accident. I was the only one there. So I went out to it, and, you know, we heard his name. We weren't sure. But they go live to us, and we still didn't know at the time it was him. We knew that there was speculation it might have been, but you can't go with that. And then, you know, ESPN got involved, and we went on ESPN with just breaking news. This is a guy who's the number one pick of the Steelers. And boom, you know, one wreck. And that was the year they chose him over Dan Marino. So that's the one that I remember a lot because it was just so out of the blue. Like, what happened? What's going on?
Oh, my God. I remember, Bob, 2012 for the Trib. I found the guy who got in, who was hit by Rivera, who had been drinking, and of course his injuries were just inconceivable. Right, I think he had a crushed spinal column and everything else, and he wound up really turning his life around. Gabe Rivera before
we went down recently. And spent 2 days with him in Texas with his second wife. The first wife couldn't handle what had happened to him. He met his second wife in his wheelchair while he was shopping, and he accidentally ran over her foot. And they start talking, whatever the case, and he became very religious after that, too. So,
wow,
it was a really interesting conversation with him because I had known nothing about, you know, I just assumed that was his first wife. It wasn't.
Well, I didn't mean to get off on this tangent here, but it's an interesting story. It was a little after 9 p.m. on October 20th, 1983 is when it happened.
I was 1 year into the job. And wow. I was there sitting doing as much as I can, and nobody was around for that. So I went out and did it.
Wow.
And again, it was like, I'm not used to covering wrecks or those sorts of things, but when it's involved with, you know, and certainly the Ben Roethlisberger.
My God.
That situation came out, and I forget when it happened.
Listen to this. I forget what you, it was.
It was that motorcycle
seven
accident.
Eight, somewhere in there. Bob, I was coming from Buffalo, driving, visiting my folks. And I swear to you, this is all true. I swear it. So I'm coming from Buffalo. I'm late. They had a thing where they wanted us over at the South Side, to which I was always like, if news happens, I'll get over there. But no, they were like, they, you have to be in the office, you know, the Steelers media office over there. So I'm driving late from straight from Buffalo to the Steelers headquarters. And I cut down on whatever that street was.
Second Avenue. And that's when,
so I could get up there and go over the bridge onto the South Side and then get there. And as I got there, the accident had just happened. Like, I was at the scene, but I didn't know what it was. If I knew, they would have told me cover it right from there.
Right.
But I just kept going and got to the South Side, and then they told me what happened. I'm like, oh my God, I just passed that accident scene.
Yeah, it was.
I'll never forget.
We were
that.
On the air a lot, nonstop, trying to get information. And back then, there was no way to get information very quickly. You know, there was no social media. There was nothing. You had to go by just talking to people, and best you can piece it all together.
Right. Well, just to complete the other story, in 2012, all those years later, Bob, I got a hold of the guy who was in the accident with Rivera, who got hit by him. He was a meter reader for Equitable Gas. And his name was Alan Watts. And he was then 77 of Ross Township. And he told me I wasn't going very fast. And I saw these headlights coming over the rise in my lane. He missed the car in front of me, but he hit me and spun around. And so many things went through my mind in those seconds. After it was over, I said, man, am I lucky. That guy. Just an incredible story.
Yeah, and so changed his life around. He had to at that point. because he was drinking too much, and that contributed to it.
Yeah, and then he wound up, of course, going through all kinds of things, and he remembered the chief and Chuck Knoll visiting him frequently. I think he was at a facility in Harmerville. But anyway, the only thing I can think of since we've been on the air here, well, no, not even that. Are the texters saying anything, Limits?
Yeah, texters are saying the passing of Franco.
Yes.
That's another
one. Yeah.
That's
a huge story.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I was trying to do it in the context of you're on the air and this happens. Those are very infrequent.
Well, that happened. It
happened in the morning.
In
when
the
you
morning.
Find out.
I'll never forget that Ron, who was never off, was off that day. So I had him on the air. He came on right away. What else are they saying? That qualifies to me as a bigger, way bigger story than this, but that's one.
Yeah, that was the main one, at least since the station has been birthed.
Yeah.
Lemieux's cancer announcement, obviously huge. But
well, the biggest story I ever covered in my career was Mario coming out of retirement. That broke, on a Friday morning.
That was incredible. That was a great time when anticipation had built, the word had gotten out, and you knew it was heading in that direction. And, man, the excitement of that was pretty cool.
Amazing. All right, Bob, let's talk to the big boy coming up next. I know he has a lot of feelings and opinions about this. He didn't think the Steelers needed a new coach. I want to get his thoughts on this. But first, listen to the Pomp and Joe Show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Rainy today, a high of Mel Blunt, 47, a low of Kent DeKalve, 27. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Let's go to the man himself, the General. General, how are you?
Gentlemen, good. Good to see you.
Is there such a thing as a Mike Tomlin card? Would that be the card of the week?
That was going to be my pick.
Ironically, I figure in keeping with the theme of the week, we're going to cover 57 years of coaching history in two cards. I got two cards, one of which is a Coach Tomlin. The second one is a Bill Cowher, Chuck Knoll sideline generals from 2010.
Wow.
So we got the three coaches from the last 57 years covered in Starkey's Card of the Week.
Wow.
Cards of the Week, plural.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Your listeners are worth it.
That is amazing, man. I didn't even know they had coach cards out there.
If there's a card to be
well,
had,
they,
go
they,
to the
they hardly
card
do.
Castle,
they
it.
Barely do, but these guys were immortals, all of them, in their own right, one way or another, and thereby achieved status of having a card. Typically, they don't have coach cards. Like, Knoll didn't have a card until after his playing or after his coaching career. But this was a story of the week, so we're going to commemorate it. We'll see who the next coach is. Maybe we'll have a card for him.
There's got to be a photo, Bob, out there, or maybe a few of – when did Chuck Knoll pass away? 2014, was it, I think? There's got to be a photo out here, out there of him, Tomlin, and Cowher together, right?
Oh, I'm
you
sure
would
there
imagine?
Is. I'm sure there is.
Now, I know that Chuck wasn't well for a number of years late in his life.
Right.
So, actually, I wonder if there is a photo out there of those three.
I think there is.
I have a really nice studio shot that was done by the Steelers organization of Cowher with Knoll. I don't have one with Tomlin in the picture.
Well, you've come through again here, General, with an unbelievable cards of the week. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
All
you
right,
guys,
Jeff,
have a good day. Take
you
care.
Do the same.
Thank you. See you.
Nice man, isn't he, Bob?
You're great. He always has something. It's amazing how you collect all that stuff and how you organize it the way he does.
You should have seen. I went out. I wanted to get cards for people around Christmas. Some of them very obscure, and he just comes up with them in a matter of seconds. How do you keep track of millions of cards?
I don't know. And there are millions of cards. It's really amazing. It's like a fortress of cards over there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.